Okay, good morning and a good night, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Nun Gimel. We are holding on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots on the third wide line of Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, Anonymous Wife and Children, and Lila Nishmas's mother, called the Basimcha Shalom. We thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So the first thing we're going to talk about is how a Talmud of Rabbi Meir had asked Rabbi Yehuda about being Mekadesh with one's own Chelek and Katshe Katshim, and whether the Kiddushin is valid after Rabbi Yehuda had specifically requested that none of the Talmidim of Rabbi Meir come into the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yehuda refused to answer the question, and then the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yossi ultimately answers the question. Then the Gemara is going to have a Machlokas whether Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind from his shita that if you're Mekadesh Bechelko Bekachim, then it's Einam Mekadesh. So we're going to have proofs in either direction whether Rabbi Yehuda in fact changed his mind and held Mekadesh, or he maintained his opinion that if you're Mekadesh with your Chelek and Kachim, then it's Einam Mekadesh. Then the Gemara is going to bring on the bottom of Amar Aleph the source for Rabbi Meir that Maaser Sheni is considered Mamon Gavoa, and therefore you're not able to be Mekadesh and Isha with Maaser Sheni. And the Gemara is going to have four different challenges to the particular limud that we use to derive Shitas Rabbi Meir. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that in the Mishnah, in two different places, we distinguish between being Mekadesh and Isha with something that's holy Bishogeg versus doing so Bimezid. We make such a distinction when it comes to Maaser Sheni. One of the Tanaim makes such a distinction when it comes to Hegdish. So why would we distinguish between Shogeg and Mezid if you're Mekadesh and Isha with either Maaser Sheni or with Hegdish? Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to discuss if someone tried to be Mekadesh and Isha with Hegdish and it didn't work. Let's assume that the Kiddushin is not valid. So what's the status of the money? Is it still Hegdish, or do we say that it was Yotzei L'chulin by virtue of the fact that he tried to be Mekadesh and Isha with the Hegdish? What about if he does a Mecher, if he sells something or buys something using Hegdish money? So do we assume that the Hegdish is now Yotzei L'chulin? So that's going to be the last conversation, the last discussion on the daf. So let's begin again at the two dots, third wide line on daf nun beis amud beis. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa taught us as follows: Lachar pitiraso shel Rabbi Meir, after Rabbi Meir had passed away, Amar lam Rabbi Yehuda l'talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda instructed his talmidim, al yikonsu talmidim Rabbi Meir l'kan, do not allow the talmidim of Rabbi Meir into our beis medrash to learn, mipresha kan teranimim, because they are just interested in picking fights, v'lo l'mil Torah heim boim, they're not sincerely coming to learn Torah, meaning they have their Rebbe, they're never going to be mekabel me as their Rebbe, they're not going to be interested in what I have to say. They're just coming to try to show me what Rabbi Meir holds and to start up with me. They're coming to hear what I have to say in order to reject everything I have to say and to show how sharp they are in their learning and that they can reject everything that I have to say. So Dachak Sumchus V'nichna Sumchus, who was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Meir, one of the outstanding Talmidim of Rabbi Meir, entered into Rabbi Yehuda's base medrash. Amar Lahem, so Sumchus said to Rabbi Yehuda and to his Talmidim, Kach Shanali Rabbi Meir, let me tell you something that Rabbi Meir taught me. Hamakadish Bechalko, if you have a Kohen that's Makadish and Isha with a Chelek that he received together in from the Karbanos, Bein Kache Kachim, whether he received that Chelek from Kache Kachim Karbanos, or Bein Kachim Kalim, or whether he received it from Ashlamim, Matoda, you know, from Kachim Kalim Karbanos, either way, if he uses his portion that he received from a Karban to be Makadish and Isha with, Lo Kidesh, the Kiddushin is not Chal. So what do you say, Rabbi Yehuda? That's what Rabbi Meir held. What do you hold? Do you hold that low kiddush also? Cause Rabbi Yehuda lehem. Rabbi Yehuda got angry at them, at his own talmidim. Amar lehem, he said, Lo kach amarti lechem, al yikonsu mi talmidim Rabbi Meir lekan, mireisha kateranimim, velolim l'toreim boim, lekabcheni balach simam. I got to give my whole speech again. Didn't I tell you that the talmidim Rabbi Meir don't belong here? They're just trying to start up. They're not interested in learning from me. And the raya is, look at the very first question they ask me. It's a ridiculous question. V'chi isha ba'azorim minayin. How would it ever even happen that you're talking about being Mekadesh Nisha with Kachim Kachim? Kachim Kachem's not allowed to leave the Azara. So where would they ever an Isha would never be found in the Azara to be Mekadesh, an Isha. So since he mentioned a possibility, he mentioned a Shaila that in Mitzius doesn't happen, what do I need to deal with such questions for? So why is an Isha never in the Azara? So Rashi implies, because it's Asur for an Isha to enter the Azara. So that's why a woman's never in the Azara. Tosos understands that, yeah, Rashi holds that it's Asur, but he says, well, only one problem. It doesn't say anywhere that it's Asur for an Isha to enter the Azara. The Rashi refers you to a Mishnah in Kalim, but if you look up the Mishnah in Kalim, it does not say that a woman's not allowed to enter the Azara. The Meiri points out that the Lashon of the Gemara within Rabbi Yossi, that we're going to see where the Gemara is going to say, well, it could be that an Isha was Dachka V'Nichnasa, that she pushes her way into the Azara. Well, it doesn't say Avra V'Nichnasa, that she violated something by entering the Azara. So even the Lashon of our Gemara doesn't imply that it's technically Usher for a woman to be in the Azara. So that's why Tosos and the Tosarash and the Meiri say that Rabbi Yehuda just means to say that it's not normal for a woman to enter the Azara in order to receive Kiddushin. And since it's a Davar She'enu Matzoi, it's not something that would be common. It's not something that would be normal. Rabbi Yehuda thought that this Shaila is not really Alach L'maisa Shaila. But not that it's Usher for an Isha to enter the Azara. Now, why is it abnormal? Once she's allowed to go, why doesn't she always go? Why would it be considered abnormal for a woman to enter the Azara? So Tosus writes, because it's a bizayon to go into the Azara to get married. You're going to go, that's where you're going to do a kiddushin. That's the Azara is dedicated for holy things. It's not meant to be a catering hall. It's not meant to be a place where you do a kiddushin. Tosus Rush writes that minastam, it's not the derech of an isha to enter the Azara, just like it's not the derech of an isha to enter batei knesios or batei midrashos. So and that's why the Gemara says in Moed Katan that even though you're not supposed to throw your fingernails on the floor because it's a sakana for pregnant women that they could miscarry from stepping on the fingernails, but if you're in the base medrash or base knesset, so you can throw your fingernails, don't do it here, but if you're in the base knesset or base medrash, you can throw your fingernails on the floor because women are never found there, so it's not a problem. Meaning apparently it wasn't at all common for women to be in a base knesset. Base knesset meaning the men's section of the base knesset. So that's a discussion in the poskim, like to what extent are we sensitive about that? That it's not the derech of an isha to enter into a beis haknesses. Maram Rutenberg writes that it's an eino nearly klal min hakosher shenog in barom makomos, that an isha is yoshevus be beis haknesses ima anoshim umal matinok becheka. That apparently it was fairly common, or it was something of a point of concern to Maram Rutenberg, that they were having women a woman as a sanduk by a bris mila. I guess they figured that the woman would be more capable of calming the baby or whatever, but the bris mila is always done in shul. So he said, I don't like it. And even if the husband is the moel or her father is the moel, so you're not worried about the proximity to the woman and that he's hovering over her or something like that, or her son is the moel. He said, it's still us. It's not me darke atznius that a woman all dressed up is going to go among the men, is going to walk in. Bifnei ashchina in a beis haknesses is going to be walking among the men, is going to be hanging out among the men. So it was always the minig in the shuls in Europe that an isha aniya would come around collecting in a beis haknesses. Or if a woman, Ramesh writes in Shuvah, sometimes if a woman wanted to say kaddish, she would go to the back of the beis haknesses. Maram Rutenberg specifically says she's dressed for a bris mila. She's all mekushetta. She's all dressed up, and she's going to come and be holding the baby. He thinks it's not appropriate that such a thing should happen in a beis haknesses. And the raya is from our Gemara that that our Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yehuda says it's not normal that a woman would be in a beis haknesses. So the poskim discuss, okay, what about getting married in a shul? So Maram Shik points to this Gemara and says, and that's why you shouldn't get married in a shul either, because when you get married, when you have a chuppah, so obviously there's a kala and there are guests that are women as well. Half of the guests are women as well, and they're all going to be in the beis haknesses, and that's not appropriate. Now it seems from the earlier Ashkenazi svarim that was always the minhag to get married in a shul. In Minhagi Maril, he says that they're mamid the chasen and the kala ala migdal. gedol bebeis haknesses b'shas hachupa b'shever brachos, that they stand them up on the duchan, meaning on the bima where they hold the chupa. In Shuvas Maramint he writes that the minig in kamakihilos is to put the efer barosh hachasan b'makom anachas hatfilin when they bring him lebeis haknesses lasul shama bracha v'akidushin. Meaning he just mentions derech agav. Of course, where else are you going to go? Where else is there room for people to get? They didn't have catering halls. They didn't rent out hotels. So where are they going to go to hold a wedding if it's freezing outside? So they'll go to the Beis HaKnesses, and that's where they hold the wedding. And the Rama writes this way in Yerideya, that the Chuppah and the Shavu Brachos are in the Beis HaKnesses, and Bishmuel says that that was always the minhag, that was the practice. So where do we find people who object to it? It's all Talmidei Chasam Sofer that object to it, because the Chasam Sofer was fighting the Reform, and the Reform insisted on getting married in a shul because they wanted to do whatever the Christians were doing, and they were getting married in a church, so we had to get married in a shul, and all the Talmidei Chasam Sofer said, so that's it, no weddings in the shul anymore, it's us to get married in a shul, and they tried to come up with every possible reason why it would be us to get married in a shul. There's a tshuva in Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos, whether you could hold a shir for women in the men's section of a shul. Like over here, we do Shabbat Shuvah Drasha for women, then a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha for men, for space reasons and babysitting reasons and other reasons, whatever. So we do the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha for women here in the shul. So Rav Menashe Klein says, I don't know, maybe women shouldn't be in the men's section of the shul. He said, particularly if they're busy doing other things during the shir, if they're also knitting and doing other things during the shir. So you might think, is that a thing that happens? Yep, when I started out, when I was assistant rabbi in Shari Tefillah, I used to give a Tuesday night shir. Three people would come every single week, and one of them was a lady who would sit in the back, who would sit there and knit until she fell asleep. It didn't take long, but she would knit until she fell asleep every week. Great shiurim, but no one enjoyed them. So I think they were good. But that's some of the issues of a woman coming into a Beis HaKnesses. So anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, what's a woman doing in shul? So again, Rashi says, what's a woman doing in the Azara, rather, Rabbi Yehuda says. So Rashi says, a woman's not allowed to go into the Azara. All the other Rishonim point out, doesn't say anywhere that a woman is not allowed to go into the Azara. Rabbi Yaakov Emden tries to defend Rashi, that he doesn't mean that the mitzad kedushas hamakom she's not allowed to come into the Azara, but it's just because there are men around, and mitzad yirvuvia, that she's going to be mixing around with men, that it's not appropriate, and makom kadosh kazeh. That's why, Mamish in Yana Dioma, the very end of Masechta Sukkah, describes that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they built a balcony for women to be, because it was too much mixing of the men and the women, that it wasn't appropriate to have the men and the women mixing. So that's why it was a tikkun gadol, the Gemara describes at the end of Sukkah, to make a separate place for women to be there. So that was Rabbi Yehuda is alluding to. So anyway, Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi comments, Yomru, everyone's going to say, Meir Shachav, Rabbi Meir is no longer with us. Yehuda Kos. And Rabbi Yehuda is getting so angry, he's not answering the question. And Yossi Shasak, and everyone's going to say that I was just stood here quietly, and I never explained Rabbi Meir Shita, that so Divrei Torah, Matei Allah, what's going to be with the Divrei Torah? No one's going to actually discuss in learning the question that was raised. So he responded to Rabbi Yehuda's concern, that Rabbi Yehuda's rejection, that what do you mean? A woman's never in the Azara. He says, you can't have a Shaila of Kiddushin in the Azara? V'chiyena demasoi l'kabel Kiddushin l'bito b'Azara? Who says a woman has to be in the Azara? A man could be a Mekabel Kiddushin for his daughter, who's a Ketana or an Ara in the Azara. Could a woman not appoint a shliach to be mekabel or kiddushin in the Azara? And also, sometimes a woman will be in the Azara, even if maybe it's not the normal thing to happen, but sometimes such a thing happens. The Rashash is so troubled. How did Rabbi Yehuda not... These are not like the most brilliant kiddushim. The possibility that a man is being mekabel kiddushin on behalf of a woman, or that a woman will enter the Azara. How could Rabbi Yehuda not have realized this? So the Rashash says, of course he realized this. His main point of anger was that Sumchus was expressing something that was against his own shita. That Sumchus was saying that Rabbi Meir holds that Rav Meir holds a certain shita, and therefore I want to know what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And Rabbi Meir held that lo kidesh. So what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? And Rabbi Yehuda holds against Rabbi Meir. So he was upset that he was bringing in foreign shitos to his base medrash. And a lot of times when Tanayim have something that they disagree with, they'll say a different reason than the real reason that they disagree. So that must be what's going on over here, that Rabbi Yehuda rejected it, but he made up an excuse why he rejected it, not the real reason. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yossi Omer Eina Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yehuda holds it is Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yossi says it's Eina Mekudeshes, if a Kohen is Mekadish Nisha with his Chelek of a Karban. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi held Eina Mekudeshes, and Rabbi Yehuda says that she is Mekudeshes. So Omer Rabbi Yochanan Shnei Mekrecha Darshu, they both darshin their din from the same Pasuk. V'zei Yelecha Mikodesh HaKadoshim Min HaEsh. Rabbi Yehuda suffer L'cha, that the word L'cha is extra, because the previous Pasuk already says, V'ani Hine Nesati L'cha Es Mishmeres Trumosai. So what's L'cha doing? L'kol Tzrachecha, that it's totally yours, you can do whatever you want with it, including being Mekadesh Nisha. Rabbi Yossi suffer, Rabbi Yossi says that the phrase Min HaEsh is extra, because we know that we're talking about Karbanos. It says in the Pasuk, Kol Karbanam. So why does that say Min HaEsh? That Ke'esh, it's similar to being Makdir or Karban on the fire of the Mizbeach. Ma'esh la'achila, just like the chelek that goes on the esh is for achilas mizbeach, afunami la'achila, the chelek that goes to Kohanim is only meant la'achila, and not for anything else, not for being mekadesh an isha. So that's the basis of each shita. Now the Gemara says, okay, did Rabbi Yehuda ever change his mind? Meaning originally he said that it's mekudeshes. Did he ultimately agree to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, nimnu v'gamru, that they ultimately took a vote, and everyone agreed that a mekadesh b'chelko ben kachakachim ben kachim kalim lo kidesh, that Rabbi Yehuda also changed his mind, and everyone agreed that the kiddushin is not valid. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rav Omer adayini machlokas, and Rav says no, it remains machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind about this. So now we need to figure out, did he or didn't he? Did Rabbi Yehuda maintain his shita that mekudeshes, or did he ultimately change his mind and agree that lo kidesh? So Amar Abaye Kavasit Rabbi Yochanan Mistavra. Rabbi Yochanan's more Mistavra that Rabbi Yehuda did change his mind, and that everyone agrees that lo kidesh. Titania, because we have a brisa that says as follows. So it's a long brisa, but from the brisa in its entirety, we'll ultimately be able to see why there's a raya that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Minayin shein cholkim menachos keneged zvachim. How do I know that a Kohen cannot go over to his friend and say, tell you what, you take my chelik of a mincha, and I'll take a corresponding value of your chelik of an asham or a chatas or something like that. And meaning you're more in the mood for bread, I'm more in the mood for meat, so you'll take my chelik of the kar mincha, I'll take your chelik of a chatas or an asham. So how do I know you can't do that? Tamalomar v'kol mincha asher te'afeh b'tanor l'kol b'nei Aaron t'yeh. So it sounds like each mincha on its own is divided and is given to all of b'nei Aaron. So yachlo yachluku menachos k'neged zvachim. So I might think, okay, I can't make a trade of a mincha k'neged a zevach shelo kamu tachteim b'dalas, because after all, even if a mincha never replaces a zevach, even if a guy is poor and he can't afford a zevach, we never downgrade him to a mincha. We downgrade him just one level to an oaf. So I would think, so you can't switch a mincha and a zevach because they're so off. They're on different, totally different madregas. Aval yachluku menachos k'neged ofos. But I would think you can at least trade your chelik in a mincha for someone else's chelik in an oaf. Shari kam tachtein bedalus. Because if a person who did an avera is poor and he can't afford to bring a carbon min a oaf, then he'll bring a carbon min a mincha. So you see that one replaces the other. Tamalomar. That's why the pasuk has tamli v'kol nasa b'marcheshes l'kol b'nei aron tiyeh. Why does it mention min marcheshes and not just say v'kol mincha l'kol b'nei aron tiyeh? So it's coming to tell me that even menachos k'neged ofos cannot be divided, cannot be traded. Yachal lo yachluku menachos k'neged ofos shalal l'mine dan v'alal l'mine k'machem. Good, so I can't trade my mincha for an oaf or vice versa, because one is an animal and the other one is flour. Aval yachluku ofos k'neged zvachem shalal v'alal l'mine damim. But I might think that you could trade your oaf for a zevach, because they're both animals, they're both mine damim, they both involve blood. Tamalomar al machavas. That's why the phrase al machavas is extra. It could have just said v'kol mincha l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh, and it would include all menachos. Why did it say al machavas? It's an extra miut to tell me that you're not even allowed to trade Ofos Keneged Zvachim. So Yachalu Yachalu Kvo Ofos Keneged Zvachim. So I think I'm not allowed to do a trade of Ofos Keneged Zvachim. Shalol Masay and Biyad, because Karbonos Ha'of, a Kohen Shech doesn't do a Shechita, does Malika with his hand, not using a Kli, not using a knife, with his fingernail. Valol Masay and Bekli, but when you Shech to Zevach, you use a knife, you use a Shechita knife. So Aval Yachalu Kvo Menachos Keneged Menachos, but I would think that Menachos and other Menachos are more similar to each other. Shalol Valol Masay and Biyad, because kmitza of a carbon mincha is always done biyad. So I would think you could trade one kind of mincha for another kind of mincha. Tamalomar v'kol mincha b'lu b'shemen l'chol b'nei Aaron. That the Torah has an extra miyut to tell me that you're not supposed to trade a mincha keneged another mincha. So yachol yachol ku machvas keneged marcheshes. So I would say, yeah, you can't trade a minchas machvas to a minchas for a minchas marcheshes. They're made in different ways. One is made on a frying pan. One is made in a deep pan. Marcheshes keneged machvas shezoma seim rakim, because the marcheshes is made like a pancake. It's made soft. Vizoma seim kashim, whereas a machvas, the mincha is made to be hard, to be more solid. So since they look entirely different, you can't trade one for the other. But I would think aval yachluku machvas kenegan machvas, that I could trade you my chelek in the minchas machvas of Reuven for your chelek in the minchas machvas of Shimon, umarcheshes kenegan marcheshes, or my chelek in the minchas marcheshes of Reuven for your chelek in the minchas marcheshes of Shimon. Shalol v'alol maseim kashem inyam maseim rakim, because they look the same, they're exactly the same. So tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says v'chareve l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. That the word v'chareva is extra, and that's coming to be mema'it, that you're not allowed to trade even the same carbon mincha one for the other. You get a chelik in the carbon, that's yours, you don't trade it for anything. So yachlo yachluku b'kotche hakotchim. So I would think that the Kohanim cannot trade their chelik for another person, for another kohen's chelik in kotche hakotchim, like a chatas keneged a chatas and asham keneged an asham, a mincha keneged a mincha, because that's kotche hakotchim. Aval yachlo b'kotchem kalim, but a shlamim, a toda, you know, that I would think you could trade. I'll give you my portion in the shlamim for your portion in the Toda, because there's no pasuk in the Torah that tells me not to do some sort of trade by kachim kalim. The whole pasuk that we've been darshaning is only by kache kachim. So Talmud Omer, that's why the pasuk says ish ka'achid v'samachlei, and right near that the Torah says im al toda. It says those Torahs have shlamim and im al toda yakrivenu. So k'shem shem cholkim kachim 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 cholkim v'kachim kalim. And that's teaching me that just like we have all these rules of not trading your portion in kachim kachim for in kachim kachim for somebody else's portion, so too in kachim kalim you're not allowed to trade for somebody else's portion. So now the Brisa concludes ish cholek afilu balmum. When we say that that ish ka'achiv in the pasuk, it teaches me that even if a man is not able to do the avodas hakarbanos, the kohen is not able to do the avodas hakarbanos because he's a balmum, but as long as he's an ish, he's allowed to take a chelek in the karban. Ve'en akatan cholek v'afilu tam. And a katan, even if he's not a balmum, since he's not an ish, he's not able to take a chelek in the karban. Now we're going to bring the right. All of this the entire citation of this brisa was meant to bring a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda had changed his mind, and that everyone was nimnu v'gamru, that if you're makadish and you're chelek in a karban, whether it's kachakachim or kachakalim, lo kidesh, it's not a valid kiddushin. And Rabbi Yehuda also holds that it's not a valid kiddushin. Meaning, what we're going to try to prove from this brisa is that your chelek in a karban isn't really yours, and if it's not really yours, you can't be makadish and isha with it, and that Rabbi Yehuda holds that way, that it's not really yours. You can't be Mekadosh Nishan with it. Well, we've seen that it's not really yours. You can't even trade it for another portion of someone else's carbon. So that means that it's not yours to do as you please. So all we need to prove is that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this Brisa. We will then know that Rabbi Yehuda holds. You can't be Mekadosh Nishan with it. Oh, well, that's easy. Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifra, as always, Rabbi Yehuda. And this is a Brisa from the Sifra. So we know that it's Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, you're not allowed to do anything with it. You're not allowed to trade it for anything. anything. So obviously it's not yours. So Shema Mina. So we see the Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you're Makadish Nisha with your Chelik and Kachim, then it's Eina Makadashas. Amar Rava Ukarav Milo Tani. He says, okay, it's great. You got a Brisa that tells you that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. I got a Brisa that tells you that Rabbi Yehuda did not change his mind and holds that she is Makadashas. Where's my Brisa? Vatanya. We have a Brisa about the Lechem HaPanim that the Gemara Maseches Yoma tells us that the entire 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, there was a special bracha in the Lechem HaPanim that anyone who would get a chelek, no matter how tiny, in the Lechem HaPanim, it would be maspia them. That there was bracha that would satiate anyone who got a chelek in the Lechem HaPanim. So when Shimon HaTzadik died, the Lechem HaPanim was no longer producing that kind of result. It wasn't being maspia people like it used to be, and Kohanim were no longer getting a kazayis; they were getting a tiny little piece, kashir pul, which is less than a kazayis. That's what Gemara says in Maseches, in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, when it talks about speaking b'lashon and Nakia, higiani kipul, that all I got was a piece the size of a bean. So it says hatznuim moshkenes yideim. When that happened, people who were tznuim stopped taking their chelik and lechem apanim. They can't be soveya from it anyway. What are they going to take? What's the point of taking a chelik that's smaller than a kazayis? Minchas chinuch mitzvah kuf lamedalid raises the question: how could they stop taking lechem apanim? You're not allowed to turn down matnos kuhuna. So it's because it looks like you're being mevaza them. So it's an iser to turn down matnos kuhuna, to turn down lechem apanim. So minchas chinuch says that since they were not able to be mekayim the mitzvah with it anyway, because pachos mekazayis, there is no din of mitzvahs nesina of nesinas matnas kuhuna. So therefore, by not taking it, they're chelik, that's kipul. It's not considered a bizayon to the matnas kuhuna. When everyone got a kazayis, they would not have refused the kazayis. But it's only when it was only a kipul that they were able to refuse. So the big tzaddikim, they didn't want it anymore. Vagargarib and the gluttonous ones, cholkim, they would take from the lechem apanim. So the Gemara assumes that they would take the chelik of the tznuim as well, and they would compensate the tznuim with other karbanos that they were entitled to. So you see, this Tana holds that you're allowed to trade your chelik in kachim for someone else's chelik in kachim. Who holds that you're allowed to do that? Who holds that you have such bailus on kachim? The only possible sheet to hold that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir clearly said you cannot be Makadish Nisha with kachim. Rabbi Yehuda is the only one that holds you have any bailus on kachim. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to, that you have ownership in it. So it says, well, nah, you're misunderstanding. My cholkim, you know, cholkim means chotvim. It wasn't that they would make a trade, they would just grab without asking for permission. So you can't prove from here that Rabbi Yehuda was not chozer and maintained his opinion that they had bailus on the kachim. Tosa Rush says Lemaisa, the Gemara could have given an easier rejection of this raya, that maybe this brisa was taught before Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Meaning, how can you prove that he didn't change his mind? You're going to bring brises that says that he holds a certain opinion? Everyone agrees at some point he held a certain opinion. So how can you prove that he didn't change his mind? So Pnei Yeshua says, it's not just that he held this way, it's that he explained historical events this way. He was saying that this is what happened when Shimon HaTzadik died. So that's not something you could change your mind. I mean, the history was the history. So if he held this, that this explains the history, then he wouldn't have changed his mind from something like that. That's how the Pnei Yeshua understands. So anyway, the Gemara brings a raya that this Tachiyah is correct, that they weren't cholkim, they were chotfim, they were grabbing. There was one particular Kohen that grabbed his chelik and his friend's chelik, and they would call him Ben Chamtzan until the day that he died, because he was grabbing other people's chalakim. Tosfos raises the question: apparently, all the gargararim, the gluttonous people were doing that. So why would this guy earn that title more than anybody else? So Tosfos says that the other people were chotef only the chelik of the tsnuim. This guy was cholik everybody's chelik. He would just mug everybody of their chelik. So that's why he got this title. Amara, and even when he was too old to do it anymore, ad yomoso, and he wasn't he wasn't acting like this anymore, they still said that they still used to call him by this name. Amara Barav Shila Mikra, what's the pasuk that teaches me that a chamtsan means a chamsan? So Elokei palteni miyad rasha mikaf ma'avel v'chomets. Rabba Amar Mehacha, a different pasuk in Yeshayahu, not from Tehillim, that says, Limdu Heitev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ishru Chamot, that you have to learn to improve your behavior, limduhetev. Dirshu Mishpat is you should look for Mishpat to know who's correct in various disputes. Ishru Chamot, and then you'll strengthen the Nigzal to go and claim what's rightfully his. So you see that Chamot is a lashon of Gezel and Chamas. So that's how that's how that word makes sense. Okay, so now it says Gemara, Meister Sheni Bimchuk Meiz Lokidish of Rameir. The Rameir holds, by the way, the Chronim discuss whether this Gemara of Nimnu Yudeyam is an indication that when it comes to mitzvos, the Magen Avraham writes in Siminun Gimel in the name of the Darkei Moshe that people should never fight over a mitzvah, because Tznu Moshe Mitzvadeim Lachem Apanim. Once it came to everyone grabbing and fighting because it wasn't satiating everyone, so the Tznuim said, okay, so we'll do without the Lachem Apanim. So and that's the proper hanhaga, that if people are fighting over an amud, who's gonna, you know, who's the avil that's entitled to the amud? So Tznu Moshe Yudeyam, that Tznu should say, you know what, it's not worth fighting over a dvar mitzvah. That's what the Achronim quote. Machsa Shekel is just mayor on the limud of the Magen Avraham from our sugya, because Lechem Apanim, either way, they weren't getting the proper shear. They only had a chatzi shear. So it could be that's why they weren't fighting, because even in the end of the day, they weren't going to get the mitzvah anyway. But maybe if you talk to get the mitzvah when you win the fight, maybe it's worth the fight. Okay, but the Magen Avraham quotes from the Darkei Moshe that we don't fight over such things. So the Mishnah went on to say, Meis Sheni Beim Shogim Beim Mezid Lo Kiddush Shem Rameir, Rebbe Dom Shogig Lo Kiddush Mezid Kiddush, that if you're Makadish Nisha with Meis Sheni, according to Rameir, it's not a valid Kiddush no matter what. Beim Shogim Beim Mezid. So Menon Emili, where does Rameir learn that Meis Sheni doesn't belong to you, that you can't be Makadish Nisha with it, that it's Moment Gavola? So Amar Avach Breid Rav, Mishmei De Gemara, that we learned in the Beis Medrash, Pasuk says v'kol ma'aser ha'aretz, and it's talking about Ma'aser Sheni, mizera ha'aretz, mipriya eitz, Lashem hu kodesh Lashem. So Lashem hu it means that the Ma'aser belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That whenever you're eating Ma'aser Sheni, it's from the Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Hashem says you have to eat it by my table. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. V'lo l'kadosh ba'isha, but it's not yours to be Mekadish Nisha with. So the Gemara has four challenges to this limud. First of all, Hare Trumas Meiser. By Trumas Meiser, we also find such a similar Lashon. Duxiv, Kein Tarimu, Gamatem, Trumas Hashem. So it calls it Trumas Hashem. Utnana, Mekadish B'Truma, Mekadeshes. And yet you can be Mekadish Nisha with Truma. If a Kohen has a Chelik of Truma, he's allowed to be Mekadish Nisha with it. So says Gemara, no, you can't learn from there, because the Lok Siv Bey, it doesn't say, like it says by Meiser Sheni, La Hashem. It says Trumas Hashem. It doesn't say La Hashem. So that's not a valid limud. So it says, well, okay, but what about Varei Chala? What about Chala, which has the din of Truma? Dichsiv ba titnu La Hashem Truma. Utanan, and it says in the Mishnah, Mekadish b'Trumos, if you're Mekadish with anything that has the din of Truma, including Chala, Mekudeshes, and Nisha is Mekudeshes, and it does say La Hashem. Well, Deloksiv be Kodesh, doesn't say Kodesh La Hashem, so therefore it's not like Meiser Sheni. So ask Gemara, okay, but I'll give you a third one. Very Shavias. What about Shemitah? It does say Kodesh. It says about Shemitah, Yovel hu Kodesh tiyeh lachem. And Shavias has the same status as Yovel in terms of the Kedusha of the payrolls. So it does say Kodesh. Utnana, Mekadish Peru Shavias, Mekadashas. They could be Mekadish Nisha with Peru Shavias. Remember, we had that case of the five women that the Mishnah spoke about, and two of them are sisters, and he took the payrolls from their field, but it was Shemitah, right? So you could be Mekadish with Shavias. So, no, Deloksiv be Hashem. It says Kodesh, but doesn't say Lashem. You need the combination of Kodesh Lashem. So a fourth challenge. Vare Truma. Truma says both Kodesh and Lashem. Duxiv, Kodesh Yisrael Lashem, Reishis Tavua So. So you see that the Yisrael is Kodesh Lashem, just like the Reishis HaTavua. What do you mean, just like the Reishis HaTavua? Just like Truma is also called Reishis. It's Kodesh Lashem. Utnana, Mekadish B'Truma, Mekadeshes. And we learned in the Mishnah that if you Mekadish with Truma, it does work. So it says, Marna, Ahubi Yisrael. If that pasuk is talking about the Shevach of Yisrael, that they're called Kodesh Lashem like Truma. But it's not speaking about Truma. It's speaking about Jewish people. That Jewish people are Kodesh Lashem. So, V'lav Memelish HaMinav, it says Gemara, but what's the dimyon? It's saying that we're so holy, we're like Truma. So it's got to be like Truma. So then it's Kodesh Lashem. Truma's also Kodesh Lashem. So, Tirgumei Rav and Saba, Kamei de Rav, Amar Kra, Hu bav yasu yehei, that he explained that the reason for the difference between truma and meiser sheni is because by meiser sheni it says Lashem hu, and hu implies that the meiser itself is mamon gavoa, but by truma it doesn't say hu, it just says kodesh Lashem without the word hu, and therefore it's not mamon gavoa. Okay, then we start up a hegdish b'meizik kiddush b'shog lo kiddush of remeir. The remeir distinguished between being mekadish and isha with hegdish b'shogeg versus b'meizid, and Rabbi Yudomer b'shogeg kiddush b'meizid. Rabbi Yehuda said the opposite. He also distinguished from the opposite direction. So we're going to explain, according to Rabbi Meir, that b'mezid kidesh, why is it that b'shogeg lo kidesh? Why is shogeg different than mezid? And not only that, when it came to meiser sheni, Rabbi Yehuda distinguished by meiser sheni between shogeg and mezid. So why would he distinguish between shogeg and mezid when it comes to meiser sheni? So I'm Rabbi Yaakov Shaminod Rabbi Yochanan Tarti. He says, I happen to have heard two teachings from Rabbi Yochanan explaining a distinction between shogeg and mezid. Shigas meiser d'Rabbi Yehuda and shigas hegdish d'Rabbi Meir. Why is it Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between mekadish nisha b'meiser sheni b'shogeg versus being mekadish nisha meiser sheni b'mezid? And why does Rabbi Meir distinguish between being mekadish nisha with hegdish b'shogeg versus being mekadish nisha with hegdish b'mezid? Shneim ein isha miskadeshes b'hem. By both of them, b'shogeg, the woman is not going to be miskadeshes, and b'mezid, she is miskadeshes. And Rabbi Yochanan gave reasons for each of these distinctions. Chada, one of the explanations that he gave is lefisha ein isha rotza, is that if the woman were aware of the kedusha of the item, she would not consent to this kedushin, and that's why it's ein miskadeshes, because it's a kedusha ta'us. V'chada, and the other situation he explained is lefisha ein shneim rotzim, that it's not just the woman that doesn't want it, neither of them would really want to use this as their kedushin. The problem is lo yada. I don't know which of the dinim Rabbi Yochanan is explaining by saying that the woman is the one that doesn't want it, and which of the dinim he was explaining by saying that it's neither of them that wants it. Is it the din of Meiser Sheni that it's the woman that doesn't want, and the din of Hegdish that neither of them want to do Kiddushin with it? Or is it, no, by Hegdish it's the woman that doesn't want, and by Meiser Sheni it's neither that wants it? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Nechzianan, Rabbi Meir says, well, let's see what makes the most sense, and we'll figure it out. Meiser Ihi Lo Nichola. Certainly it makes sense that the woman is not happy about receiving Meiser Sheni for Kiddushin, Mishum Tircha Dorcha, because he's saddling her with an error now, because now she's got to take this Meiser Sheni. The only place she can eat it is in Yerushalayim. So she's got to schlep to Yerushalayim. So she's not happy about that. Iu nichle, but he's perfectly happy with it. The nikni yitzim memela just saved him a trip to Yerushalayim, and he got a wife out of it. So he has no problem with that. Ella hegdish, but when it comes to hegdish, travayla nichle, the nichle hegdish al yadayu, probably neither of them want to be mechalal hegdish. So that would explain why hegdish b'shogeg, when it would be enim kadeshes, is because neither of them want hegdish. Why is it that Rav Meir holds Meiser Sheni b'shogeg is lo kidesh just because she doesn't want it? So when Rabbi Yochanan said that one of these dinim could be explained with her not wanting it, that must be Rav Meir's shita about Meiser Sheni b'shogeg. When he said another one of these dinim could be explained with neither of them wanting it, that must be about Rabbi Yehuda. That must be about a hegdish being able to be used for kiddushin b'shogeg. Rabbi Yaakov said that no, the Rabbi Yirmi is not necessarily correct. Ipcha misavra, I could make an argument the other way. Milo ikal meimer, isn't it possible to say within Rabbi Yochanan the exact opposite, that meiser ihi lo nichla mishum tircha d'urcha, meiser sheni, like you said, she's unhappy with it, she doesn't want to shlep all the Yerushalayim. And he's going to be unhappy with it because while she's slipping to Yerushalayim, she might lose the Meiser Sheni, it might get ruined, and then she'll have tainas on him. You're mekadish me with this crazy stuff that I have to bring all the way to Yerushalayim. He doesn't want her to have tainas on him, so neither of them want it. Ela hegdish bishlami ihi lo nichla. But when it comes to hegdish, I get that she doesn't want it. Denitchal hegdish al yada, because she doesn't want that on account of her getting married. Hegdish had to be meschalel. Ela ihu milo nichle. Is he so unhappy about Hekdesh being used for Kiddushin, then Nigri Yitzim Mimela. He got a woman out of it. He got a wife out of it. So maybe he doesn't bother him so much to be Mechal Hekdesh if at the end of the day he gets a wife out of it. The woman would be very bothered by that. Tosa Rosh and the Ritva raised the obvious question. The woman would be more bothered by it than the man would be? Don't we normally say that Yosef Misha Ishrotza Lases, Isha Rotza Lihinase, that we normally assume the Chazaka is that a woman yearns to get married more so than a man? So when you have the trade-off of being Mechalel Hegdish, why is the man okay with that trade-off if, after all, I get to be married at the end, and the woman's not okay with that trade-off? I don't care that I get to be married at the end. I don't want to be Mechalel Hegdish. So isn't that backwards? So you have to give some teretz along the lines of, while a woman might be more interested in getting married than a man is, she's also more interested in maintaining the Kedusha of Hegdish than a man is. Maybe she has a greater sensitivity to Kedusha in general. Rava raised the following shayla from Chissa. Isha ain miskadeshes. You said if you makadish nisha with Hegdish, so granted the Kedusha is not valid. Most mashi yesi l'chulin. But does the money now become chulin money? So I'm like, Isha ain miskadeshes, most heichiyatsi l'chulin. If the transaction didn't work, so then the money doesn't go and become chulin. The money stays Hegdish. So okay. What if you bishogeg, you bought an object using Hegdish money? Is the kinyan going to be chal according to Rabbi Meir, or is the kinyan not chal? Amalei af b'mecher lo kana. Even when it comes to a mecher, the kinyan is not chal because you're not going to have me'ila b'shogeg. So the money, wherever it is, remains Hegdish. So if the money remains Hegdish, so then there's not going to be any kinyan that's going to be chal when you b'shogeg use Hegdish money. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the challenge to the shita of Rav Chista, who says af b'mecher lo kana. Okay, have a great day and a good night, everybody.
Okay.